Vyanatamirandasya Janajalas Lakaya Saksus Melitam Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Savnadajakam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vinanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Navasesha Sanyavadi Pashkati Dejatarane. Vanja Kalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayi Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vinanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Navasesha Sanyavadi Pashkati Dejatarane. Vanja Kalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayi Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. These two devotees, Deepak and Veena, have been a member of the Melbourne Radhabalabha Mahaprabhu Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi community for many years. One can say that they didn't take their birth in Maharashtra, they took their birth in Melbourne. So even though they look big, they're actually little. And they owe all thanks to Aniruddha Prabhu and Achintarupa Prabhu and the other devotees of the Melbourne community of Vaishnavas for bringing about their devotional consciousness. And please don't ever forget that. Because really, really, we're all so little in this material world. We are little, and hard as it is to accept in our daily lives, we are insignificant. And on the other hand, Daivya Shugunamayi Mama Maya Duratya. The material energy is just simply so powerful that it so easily covers our true wealth. And we think that other things are important other than our eternal life in relationship to Sisi, Radha and Krishna, Radha Balava, Radha Shyama Sunda in Sri Vrindavan Dham. We think other things are important. Well, in fact, everything else other than that is insignificant, and it has importance only in relationship to achieving that goal. Here we are. We have so many desires. We're so covered in so many ways. But yet, and we can't just say, oh, from now on, I'm not going to be like this. It doesn't work in that way. We can't just by the power of our intelligence or our mind's desires just give up our material situation, good or bad even. Unless, of course, we are 100% sincere and place ourselves fully under the shelter of an exalted Vaishnava like Srila Prabhupada, then he, such a person, is so powerful. So powerful. He can just lift us. But that lifting means that we're holding on. He always has the power to lift us. But do we have the power to hold on so tightly that regardless of what happens, I'm holding on? So those limitations that we have tend to disallow us from becoming uplifted above our limitations and immediately, and rather, therefore, it is often better for us to proceed step by step in a gradual way, because what we want to avoid is the torture of quickly going like this and then boom, going back like this and then suffering on that level and then quickly saying, oh, I don't want that, I'll go back to here, and then boom, boom, boom. Oh, that's torture. It's torture for everyone, especially the person who's undergoing that. So it's generally recommended that we proceed gradually, slowly, under the guidance of Shastra, under the guidance of our spiritual masters, and under the guidance of the Vaishnavas, the path chalked out by the devotees and especially made relevant by our special devotee, Srila Prabhupada, the founder and Acharya of ISKCON. But yet we have to proceed. We may not be able to proceed exactly like that because of our limitations, but whatever our situation is, we should use that situation to make us go in that direction instead of going in the opposite direction, going downward. So very much Srila Prabhupada, not only Srila Prabhupada, but Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, especially set up preaching. And he gave us such a gift, Srila Prabhupada did, by establishing a preaching movement, because in this preaching movement, more or less everything, every tendency we have, every attachment we have, every ability we have, every bit of material possession we have, every talent we have, can be used to bring us closer to Krishna by using that in the preaching mission and purifying it in that way. Everything, nirbandas, sambandhe, yukta vairagya, we say, not falgu vairagya, not dry renunciation, but using everything in Krishna's service, in the service of the preaching mission. But, we have to make sure we understand that all this that we are using is not actually ours. Neither our talents, nor our wealth, nor our material situation, nor even our body, it is not ours. It belongs to the actual owner of all these things, and that is Sisi, Radha and Krishna, and Sri Vrindavan Dham. Everything belongs to them, and we are detached and neutrally use all these things as best we can for their pleasure, because it is theirs. So please, and this instruction is certainly for me as well, and especially for you too, but for us all, we should be detached from thinking ourselves the enjoyer, the owner, the controller of anything, and just fix ourselves as servants of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's movement, of our spiritual master, and servants of all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas. We should adopt that mood. I'm a servant, and how can I serve them? How can I please? And also the servant of everyone who is not a devotee. Be fixed in the mood of servant, not servant of the devotees and master of the non-devotees. Contradiction in consciousness. Just simply servant. Servant of the Vaishnavas. And this is the great gift, or one of the great gifts of Srila Prabhupada, that very, very practically he established a movement, a system for doing this. Otherwise, the Vaishnavas in the past, they lived such renounced lives. Such renounced lives. They had such punya, such bhakti unmukhi piety, that they didn't, they were so detached from the material world, they could just sit and just Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Our great acharyas of Mande Rupa Sanatano, Raghuya Gosi, Jiva Gopalako, headed by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and all their associates and followers. They were so renounced, so renounced. Madhavendra Puri, Srila Madhavendra Puri, he would not even beg for his food. He would wait till Krishna inspired someone from within their hearts to offer him food. Oh, Baba, you haven't had anything to eat today? Would you like some? You can take some madhukari, some alms. This is actually the Vrindavan culture. But Prabhupada has made that so much, given us so much access to that by setting up the preaching movement where whatever we have, whatever we are, should be used in his service. Whatever intelligence we have, whatever abilities we have, everything should be used in Krishna's service and made as an offering to him. Now, the specific significance of this occasion of giving Harinam initiation is it's making something very formal, establishing in a formal way that which has already been established. The fixedness and the determination of some special souls to serve Krishna, to be established in that, to fix it even more strongly in the service of Sisi Gornatai and Sisi Krishna, Sisi Rana and Krishna, to establish that very, very firmly, because of course initiation means to begin. When you initiate an action, it means to begin an action. And this action has been begun quite a long time ago. But yet this formalizes the beginning. And what is that beginning? Is that we put on neck beads. Even we have to take off the neck beads we were wearing and put on new neck beads, because as Prabhupada explained to me at my initiation, this is a dog collar. It is like a dog collar. Because we're fixing ourselves as servants, and we use this body, we make sure we, and in the old Ramanuja times, that they would put on the tilak, they would use branding. They would take hot iron and brand the body with tilaks, with the tilak. Because this body is a temple. It is marked as a temple because Krishna lives inside. It is not meant, it is the opposite of the materialistic conception, is that the body is meant for my pleasure, it is meant for service, and Krishna lives within. So, Prabhupada said, the dog has the good quality of being loyal to his master. Usually Prabhupada would criticize dogs for their nasty nature. But he said, the dog has one good quality, that he is loyal to his master, and I've seen this in Vrindavan. I've done a study of the Vrindavan dogs and also the Vrindavan monkeys, because I live right beneath a peepal tree, which doesn't have, it has more monkeys than people growing on it. But the monkeys have their style, but the dogs, and they have so many nasty habits, so many nasty habits. They're either sleeping, eating, mating, or defending. Nothing else goes on. Nothing else goes on. But when their master is away, they cry and cry and cry. And sometimes the masters feed them, sometimes they don't feed them. I've seen masters kick their dogs, and nothing makes a difference. They have given themselves to their master. It's quite astounding. And because I've studied this, because Prabhupada told me, it's like a dog collar, so I wanted to understand what this means. And they're fixed. But I see sometimes they also complain. They howl when they're hungry, they howl a bit, but they don't leave the house of the master. That's my solace, that they sometimes complain also. But they stay there, they stay there, and they stay there. And when someone comes, they bark, and sometimes they even bite. I've seen it. So that one quality of the dog we should emulate very carefully, the loyalty to the master, because in this case the spiritual master is just trying to be a servant of his master, and that's the only qualification at all. So it's the initiation is a formalization of I am the Dasa, the Dasi of Krishna. It's a formalization of that. So the tilak, the neck beads, the changing of the name, everyone has a different name, but there is a commonality in all the names that they are always Das or Dasi. I am no longer of this. Of course, on a certain level, I am, I have an American, Australian body, this, that, I have, male body, this and that, but that identification remains on the superficial level, and rather we begin to deeply conceive of ourselves as I'm not these things, I'm not these external things, but Gopi Bharta Parakamalaya Dasa Dasana Das. Naham Vipro, Natsanarapati, Napivaishama Sudro, Naham Vani, Najagriya Patir, Yovanistiya Tirva, Kintu Pranyan Nikala Paramananda Panamrita, Gopi Bharta Patakamalaya Dasa Das. I am a servant. This is the fixedness. I'm a servant. And a servant is meant to serve. That means the internal mentality that I'm a servant should manifest in making some kind of offerings. A servant serves. What is my offering? What is my service? And this mentality and this question a devotee naturally asks, I'm a servant, and therefore, what is my service? What is my service? How can I please Krishna now? Not how can I please me, which is the mentality, the self-centered mentality of materialistic conditioned souls, but how can I please Guru Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Paramaguru, Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and all the Vaishnavas. How can I please them? How can I please them? What can I do right now to please them? How can I act? How can I address? This is the training for Goloka Vrindavan, because regardless of what it looks like in Goloka Vrindavan, the gopis, they dress themselves so carefully. They look in the mirror and push their hair this way and that and cover their heads or uncover their heads, this and that. But regardless of what it looks like, because when we look in the mirror, we're trying to see, we're thinking about ourselves, it's self-centered. But regardless of what, these most exalted residents of Vrindavan are doing, it is simply to please Krishna. It is simply to give Krishna pleasure. So that is the perfection. That is the perfection of consciousness. And we want to develop that type of servant consciousness. How can I please? And when that is perfect, when it's developed to the full extent, complete selfless service. Then we're in Vrindavan. When that conscious, when the fire of that desire to please the servants of the servants of Sisi Radha Ballabha is burning in our heart, there's nothing in the material world that appears to have any independent value other than Krishna's service. And that way all our impurities leave us. They burn to smoke and ashes. So we want to develop and cultivate this consciousness, because that focused consciousness on Krishna, it will take us out of this world. And that serving and loving mood for Sisi, Radha and Krishna will take us out of this world, and it will plant us firmly entwined around the tree of Krishna, and it will bear its fruits of prema bhakti. And we should not settle for anything else. We should not settle for anything else. And make us take us some time, but in the core of our heart, on the deepest level, despite our inabilities and attachments, we don't want anything else. That is what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna bhakti rasata bhavato mati kriyatam yadi kuti chilabhyate tatra loyam apimulam ekalam janma koti sukritar nalabhyate. Krishna consciousness means the sweet mellow of the taste of that comes from the service of Krishna, trying to please Krishna. And this was Prabhupada's gift. This is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was given the order distribute. He was with Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu told him, there's no one else but you, because I am here in Jagannath Puri. There is no one else but you who can do this service in Bengal and distribute Krishna consciousness. So you have to go. And so Nityananda even gave up Mahaprabhu's association to follow the order of Mahaprabhu to preach. And Nityananda Prabhu, of course, had his own methodology of preaching that we cannot imitate what Nityananda Prabhu. He would roll on the ground sometimes and just beg people with tears in his eyes, just rolling on the ground and begging people to take up chanting Krishna's names. Sometimes, and we know in Navadvipa, when he and Thakur Haridas went out preaching on Mahaprabhu's order, they were attacked by Jagai and Madai. And Nityananda Prabhu, he kept his mentality simply on how can I serve Mahaprabhu's order and bring these people to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and thereby please Mahaprabhu and make Mahaprabhu's glories increase because if these people become delivered, then the whole world will say, Taras Shakshi Jagai and Madai. Just look at this, what Mahaprabhu has done. And indeed, so Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu had so many tricks that he used to use. Sometimes he would dress in jewels and silk, even though he had been a sannyasi. He would dress in 9 different necklaces of jewels in his body, and so much so that people who had faith, he would dress in jewels, and people, so much so that people who had faith in Mahaprabhu had questions about Nityananda, and one Brahmin went to Mahaprabhu. He had full faith in Mahaprabhu, so he went to Jagannath Puri to ask Mahaprabhu, Very humbly he said, I have some doubts in my heart. Please allow me to speak. What about this Nityananda? You know, he doesn't act like a sannyasi is supposed to act, this and that. And Mahaprabhu just told him that Nityananda and I are the same. What's happened, what Nityananda is doing is exactly my desire. And Nityananda, he came to see Mahaprabhu when he said, look what you've made me do. It's your desire. I'm dealing in this way. But for the purpose of bringing so many souls back to the lotus feet in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and Sri Vrindavan Dham. This is Mahaprabhu's desire, and this is Mahaprabhu's movement, and this is Mahaprabhu Mandir. So Mahaprabhu is sending some of its servants out to continue serving in a different way. So some specific instructions, which in one sense are general, but they're very, very specific. Please chant Hare Krishna very, very, very carefully and very seriously. And take shelter of the holy name. Namasraya kore jatana tumi. Don't just chant Krishna's names, but make the holy names of Krishna your shelter. There's a difference. A shelter is the place we go when there is nowhere else to go. So if we keep always in the shelter of the holy names, keep ourselves in the light, the brilliant light of Krishna's holy names, darkness will never touch us. So take shelter of the holy names and listen attentively. And I'll read the 10 offenses here. This is an ISKCON tradition that Prabhupada basically established. At initiation ceremonies, we speak about the 10 offenses because this is Harinam initiation, formally accepting the shelter of Krishna's holy names, establishing ourselves positively in relationship with Krishna through chanting his holy names. So the first offense, Satam Ninda, Paramam Aparanam Vatanute. It's the topmost of bad things to do. Don't do it. To blaspheme the great saintly persons, or the devotees even, who are preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all over the world or anywhere. It is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. Nama Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. Don't criticize devotees. Don't think that the great devotees I'll never criticize, the big, big devotees, and then I can criticize everyone else. No. Devotees are, even though we forget it, it's so rare that someone has dedicated their life to or even embarked on the path of Krishna consciousness. It's actually so rare that someone sincerely trying to do that. We should avoid criticism. Always avoid criticism of the devotees. No politics. Just if someone approaches you and says, did you hear what had happened and what this one has done? You say, oh Prabhu, I'm so fallen that I should not hear anything about anyone bad about anyone. Like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who set the example, he would not hear any criticism of any devotee, even if it was true. Don't get involved in these things. It will pierce the devotional heart full of so many holes. And if you have some reason to have to correct someone or act in a practical way, do it with the same mood that you correct your children. There is a big overlaying of love on that and affection. Second, Sivasya Sri Vishnu Yahiguna Namadi Sakalam Diya Binam Pasyat Sakalo Harinam Itikara. In this material world, the holy name of Vishnu is auspicious. All auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the absolute personality of Godhead from his holy name or his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, thinking them material, that is offensive. That's Mayavad philosophy, actually. So Krishna and Krishna's names are the same. Similarly, to think that the names of the demigods, such as Lord Shiva, are as good as the name of Lord Vishnu is also blasphemy. To consider the demigods on the same level as Lord Vishnu is offense to Lord Vishnu. To think that the holy names, qualities, and pastimes are different from Lord Vishnu, and also to think that the demigods are separate from the Lord, that is also namaparad. So either the same as the Lord or separate from the Lord. They are empowered agents. We should not neglect respecting the demigods, but yet we should know they are not the Supreme Lord. One time in Hong Kong, the priest of the local Hong Kong Hindu temple, he came to see Prabhupada and he invited Prabhupada to come. Quite a nice man. And interestingly, I saw, when I was in Hong Kong a few months ago, I saw his son, also a Sharma. I saw him. And he told, I hadn't seen him for so many years, ever since he was a little boy, because I was in Hong Kong in the 1970s, 30 years ago. And he told me for the last 20 years, he's been chanting 16 rounds a day. And I had no idea, actually. You know, what seeds our preaching plants as we do it on behalf of Prabhupada and in service of Prabhupada. We have no idea. Our business is just to throw the seeds as far as we can and as frequently as we can and let the results come as Krishna so desires. So anyway, this devotee was so fixed and so glorifying Prabhupada. He said his consciousness was so fixed on Prabhupada. He said his family lives in Jaipur, and he said he has Gornatai deities this big in his house there. And anyway, his father came to see Prabhupada, a very unenvious and nice man. And he invited Prabhupada to the Hindu temple, and Prabhupada asked me if I thought he should go. And I said, no, Prabhupada, they worship Lord Shiva there. And he got very, and when Prabhupada got angry or heavy, it was like the universe felt like it was trembling. And he said, and do you tell them not to worship Lord Shiva? And he said, no, Prabhupada. No, Prabhupada. Because that is aparad. But I said, but they worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, oh, then I don't want to go. So to think, to minimize these Vaishnavanam, Yathashambhu, or the other demigods, these great Vaishnavas, is aparad. But to think them, worship them independently of Lord, we don't participate in that type of a thing. Third, Guru Avagya, it is offensive to consider the spiritual master material and therefore to envy his exalted position. Because, of course, the spiritual master is a person, but yet I heard Prabhupada say about the deity, which helped me understand very much about the relationship with the spiritual master and his position. He said the deity, everyone knows that the deity is material. He's made out of marble. Usually our instruction is just to see the deity as Krishna, non-direct. But here Prabhupada put a very proper balance, not that the other is improper, but making it very, very clear. Everyone knows that the deity is made out of matter, either marble or brass or paper or a jewel. But to think that the deity is only that, that is offense. So Krishna so kindly comes in that form to benedict us with the ability to serve him, and he accepts the service, and that quote material form is spiritual, because Krishna turns matter to spirit in that way. So similarly, even the personal the spiritual master, of course he's a person, of course he has this and that. But the qualification is that Krishna's mercy is coming to me, the mercy of Prabhupada is coming to me through him, so that can't be forgotten either. It is offensive, Shruti Shastra Nindanam, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures such as the four Vedas and the Puranas. Atavada, it is offensive to consider the glories of the holy name exaggeration. No, the holy name Abhinatab Namano, Krishna, and Krishna's name are the same. And an exalted devotee can chant Krishna's names 24 hours a day. How is that possible? Unless he's experiencing Krishna, ever fresh, freshly experiencing Krishna through his holy names. Krishna is there, but that is realized on the stage of Bhava Bhakti. But yet we should be respectful to the holy names and not think there is any exaggeration in that Krishna is there in his holy names. Namno baladyasya hi papabuddhi navidite tasya yamahi shuddhi. The greatest offense at the holy name is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. That, oh, one Harinam can purify from so many sinful activities, and therefore I'll commit sinful activities, and then I'll become purified and commit sinful activities and take purified. That's Hatisnan. The elephant bathes in the water and then immediately takes dirt and dust and places it upon him again. Do not. We follow the principles very carefully. And therefore, and if we chant Hare Krishna and avoid committing offenses, then the plant of our devotional service will grow. It is offensive. Dharma vratya tyaga hutari sarva subha kriya samyam api pramada. The final word in that was what? The Sanskrit word? Pramada. We'll get to that in a moment. It is offensive to consider the chanting of the holy name equal to the performance of ordinary religious ceremonies or fire sacrifices, the observance of austere vows or the practice of renunciation, all of which are materialistic auspicious activities. Krishna's holy names are all auspicious because they are Krishna. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhaka, they illuminate. If we concentrate on Krishna's names, they illuminate everything. Our consciousness becomes so illuminated by the potency of associating with Krishna's names. And pramada means inattentiveness. It's been added as one of the offensive. It's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. We should try. We may not be successful fully due to our faulty mind, but we should make the attempt. And that is so purifying, to listen and not let our mind wander as we are chanting. We should remember what we're doing when we're chanting. We should bring it back. Yato yato nistalati manas chanchalam astiram. We should listen to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We should make that attempt. And that is brings us above the aparad platform to the clearing stage. That is the process of chanting above, not on namaparad stage, but to the clearing stage. It's making the attempt in a sincere way to chant Krishna's names attentively. Shudvapi nama mahatmya ya priti rahito dama aham mamadi paramo namna so pyaparadakrit. Ashradane purushe vimukhe pyashinvitiya chobadesha shiva namaparada. It is an offense to preach the glories of the holy name to those unwilling to hear, to the faithless, to atheists, or to those who have no faith in the chanting of the holy name. And if a person has heard the glories of the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but nevertheless continues in the material concept of life, thinking I'm this body and everything belonging to this body is mine, and if he thus shows no respect or love for the chanting of the holy name, that is an offense. Every devotee who claims to be a Vaishnava must carefully guard against these 10 offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success. And what is that desired success? Krishna prema. So we can, there's that verse, I can't, they always used to chant it in the Melbourne temple many years ago, that we can go on chanting for millions of years, and if we don't remove the offenses from our chanting, we won't get that desired result, which is the glory of the soul. Our own glory is to be lovingly serving Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham. This is what will bring us what we want. This is the full satisfaction that we are hankering for. So we should carefully try to avoid the offenses. I wanted to read about the first initiation in New York when Prabhupada initiated the devotees for the first time, but I spoke longer than I thought I would. But I wanted to, and I'll just read the last part. And what Prabhupada went through to establish the movement, no one, there were 11 initiates at the first initiation ceremony, and no one was wearing dhoti or sari or anything like that. No one really knew anything about what initiation meant. They just thought, oh, wonderful, let's get initiated. Sounds like something I haven't done before. And Prabhupada, he did that because when there's a spark, it has to be fanned, and that will burst into flames if it's taken care of properly. So we should always keep in mind how the difficulties and the austerities and the ingenuity and the brilliance and the depth and the tolerance Prabhupada had to exhibit to bring us, each and every one of us, to be able to chant Hare Krishna. How difficult it was, and how compassionate it was. And Prabhupada's vision was so big. So we should consider ourselves servants of Srila Prabhupada. And that, because of that quality, because these two devotees, Deepak and Veena, because they already do consider themselves servants of Prabhupada, and therefore I have trust in them. I just want to read one line, one paragraph, short paragraph from the end of this section describing the first initiation. It was over, and it was in a little apartment in New York, and they had lit the fire, and the windows were kept closed because Prabhupada was afraid, because if the windows were open and the smoke was pouring out, someone would call the fire department. But then after it was over, Prabhupada was happy. He arranged that prasadam be distributed to all the devotees and guests. The fire, the prayers, the vows, and everyone chanting Hare Krishna had all created an auspicious atmosphere. Things were going forward. This was 1966. Now, for the first time, there were initiated Vaishnava devotees in the Western world. Finally, most of the disciples went home to their apartments, leaving their spiritual master to clean up after the initiation ceremony. This is what Prabhupada had to tolerate. And he was more than 70 years old. Who can imagine? Who can imagine? So if one tolerates all kinds of difficulties to please Srila Prabhupada and help him in the preaching mission to make everyone in the universe, everyone in the world become Krishna conscious, how much Prabhupada's mercy, how much Mahaprabhu's mercy, how much Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, how much they will come to us. And all the devotees will be pleased, so please remember that. Okay, now it's the time. I've chanted on the beads, on your beads. So Deepak, put on. Let's left side when you offer obeisances, but there's the deities in here, left. Some of the devotees have the Hare Krishna Mahamantra playing. That's, at least it's not as distracting. I want you to pay, pull down the butts. And obeisances always out loud. All the deities aloud. After also, did you say Nama Om Vishnu Padaya? That wasn't out loud.
I want to say Nama.
So, but go down and say it now. We'll just change the position you're in when you say now.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Shri Shashini Vani Pashyavi Chetani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu. Very sincere devotee.
Om Ajnana Pibha.
So it's nice if you put, in the old days we used to always have, and the way they'd give the beads in Vrindavan when you'd get them is they would put a string after the eighth bead. Now it's not there anymore to signify the eight gopis, but always chant a little, make sure you chant attentively. You can put that, and also the beads should be soaked in mustard oil or something, otherwise they'll crack, both sets, for 3 days like that. So of course you know that you